studio with me, I'm so excited, is Eric Blindman. He is the Director of Archaeology for the Museum of New Mexico for the Department of Cultural Affairs. He has the longest title of anyone in state government, and we're so excited you're with us. Welcome to the Children's Hour, Eric.
Thank you. It's fun.
It's fun. I'm really happy you're here. You've brought all kinds of wonderful little things for us to play with, and we're taking pictures of that and posting that to Twitter. If you follow us, we're at KUNM Kids. Let's start at the very beginning. What is archaeology?
Archaeology is a subfield of anthropology, which is study of us, study of people, how we live, how we speak, our physical evolution, all kinds of stuff. And the archaeology side of it is the way we reconstruct histories using evidence of that people have left behind for really our entire existence. We love written records too, so archaeologists don't stop where modern history starts, but we work with the leavings, all the trash and all the structures that are left by past peoples.
Why study ancient people?
It's partly it's just curiosity as to where we come from. Part of it is really pretty serious because a lot of past cultures had to deal with the same problems we're dealing with today. And the solutions they came up with are useful to us in terms of designing our own solutions to the problems we face.
Really? Like what is a problem that someone – we know New Mexico was populated by humans for about 12,000 possibly more years. I'd love to believe more, but who knows? But what kind of problems did someone have 10,000 years ago that we're having today?
Well, the biggest one and simplest one is climate change. Climate hasn't been stable for any period longer than 200 years in the past 2,000 years. And within that time period, communities have thrived and have suffered as climate has changed around them.
And so I guess there's a lot more. Eli has a question for you first, but so many questions. Yeah, go ahead.
So how is archaeology different from paleontology?
Oh, that's always my favorite question because I get that on the phone all the time. People will find a fossil and they'll call our office.
Well, yeah.
So we send them down to the Natural History Museum where they have paleontologists. And we actually overlap with paleontology because the – paleontologists are interested in the way the landscape and the climate and the animals and the plants were that are really different today from today. And so the paleontologist is interested in the stuff that's happening 8,000 years all the way back, millions and millions and millions of years ago. And as archaeologists, we're interested in the part of that record where there were people. So we're going back at least 12,000 years. And, you know, Katie, you're right. It's probably much, much deeper than that. Maybe 17,000, maybe 30,000 years ago before when people started to come to North America.
I thought I read something that recently in South America there was a discovery that was a human, some kind of human record that went back way even more, and that was South America.
That's right. There's cave sites down there that suggest that people may have been here 30,000 years ago. Same thing on the East Coast, 30 to 40,000 years ago. And the geneticists, when they look at the genetic qualities of the modern populations, they suggest that we're talking about something in that same order. The problem here in New Mexico is we don't have the sites yet.
We haven't found the evidence, you're saying.
No,
and that's
yet.
What's so interesting is tell us, Eric, how in the bigger picture of the world, how long have humans been on the – I mean, we know we evolved from some kind of apes and Homo australopithecus or something. But we know we evolved from ancient types of human beings that evolved from apes. So, but when we actually call ourselves human, how long ago is that?
It's actually a tough question because there's grades of humanness. I mean, somebody from 70,000 years ago could walk down the streets of Albuquerque and we might not even think that they looked any different than the range of the way people look today.
They'd look like a hipster with their beard and no, I'm teasing. Who knows?
You're describing me? What?
Well, we're talking with Eric Blindman. He is the director of archaeology in the state of New Mexico for the It's such a long title, but the basic gist of it is he's our head archaeologist here in the state, and we're talking about archaeology in New Mexico. And let's come back to New Mexico and talk about what are you finding? What are you finding, and how do you know when you found something that it's really old? I mean, I'm seeing some of the things you have over here, and we're posting pictures of these artifacts to Twitter at KUNMKids, but how do you know when you dig something up, like you have, for example, an axe head here that's like a rock? How would I know if I'm in my yard and I'm digging in my garden and I suddenly come upon this thing? How do I know it's old and worth calling you?
I guess the first thing is you have to figure out, is it a rock or is it an axe? And a lot of times that's tough. Mm. You know, you have to see a lot of rocks and you have to see a lot of axes. And that's mm-hmm. part of the training in archaeology is learning how to recognize when something is man-made mm-hmm. as opposed to just something that's been accidentally shaped by nature to look like an axe. So partly it's contrasting what we find with what nature would produce. And as soon as we've convinced ourselves that it had to have been shaped by humans, then we start thinking about what the technology was, what the style of the artifact was. And it's really that combination of technology and style that clues us into age.
Hmm. Yeah, Eli.
So what types of evidence do archaeologists look for?
Well, we look for trash. That's the first and most abundant thing that people leave behind in their communities. You know, we don't see it very much because we put it out in bins and a big truck comes along and hauls it away every couple of days.
But in 70,000 or 10,000 years, the archaeologists of the future will love our trash piles.
Well, they'll be big, concentrated, deep landfills, and they'll actually be probably really, really expensive to dig. And if anything, they'll probably be digging them not for the archaeology, but because they're an incredible mine of resources, all those things we didn't recycle.
Ancient people didn't do that. They didn't. I mean, I'm not saying there was trash pickup in ancient times, but the ancient people didn't consolidate their trash to one place?
They would toss their trash close to their house. In fact, that was the tradition really all the way up in the early part of the last century, is everybody is putting their trash locally. I mean, Spanish colonial trash, they'd dig big holes in the ground and just fill a hole. And when that was full, they'd dig another hole in the ground and fill that hole. Mm. But if you're generating a small amount of trash, if most of your trash isn't chemically polluting, mm-hmm. you can just toss it out on the landscape. Today we call it litter.
Yeah.
Today we think it's ugly. Mm-hmm. Back then it was just part of the daily life. But
they didn't have like little plastic caps and things like that that are ugly. So what kind of trash do you find?
Well, you know, every family would have broken and had to replace 5 pots a year when they were in a ceramic using period. And so every pot breaks into 100 or 200 pot sherds, and those pot sherds don't go away. So they get scattered off across the landscape around you, and that's what the archaeologists look for, is that accumulation of trash.
Wow.
So one man's trash really is another man's treasure.
Oh, yes. It's sort of like I think every mother knows if she wants to figure out what her kids are doing that they don't want her to know about, all she has to do is look in the trash.
And on the computer trash. We are talking with Eric Blindman. He is the director of archaeology for the Museum of New Mexico for the Department of Cultural Affairs. And we're going to come back to you in just a minute and talk about artifacts, which are these bits of trash. And what do you do when you find artifacts and you're off hiking in the woods? And we're talking about really about ancient people. We're talking about ancient people and ancient times and ancient things because we're here in the studio today with Eric Blindman. He's the director of archaeology for the Museum of New Mexico for the Department of Cultural Affairs here in New Mexico. He's sort of our head archaeologist in the state. And you've been explaining what archaeology is and how you look for artifacts. I don't know that we very well defined what an artifact is. What is an artifact?
Well, it's actually anything that people have used or modified. So that if think about your own home and what you have in it. Everything you've got is artifacts, from your glasses to your shampoo bottle to your sheets on your bed to your shoes. All of those things are artifacts.
Is this what you're finding? You find shoes. I'm looking over here at this pile of awesome stuff. We're posting pictures. We just posted a picture to our Facebook page, which should have gone out on Twitter. We're at KUNM Kids. And Eli Glickman was so kind as to model the backpack using a tump line. And a tump line goes around your forehead. That's better, isn't it? It's like you have more power.
It's the safest and most comfortable way to carry heavy weights in the world. And everybody in the world uses that tump band, except us here in the United States.
It's time to bring that back into fashion.
It is. And the Boy Scout manuals all the way up into the mid-60s had instructions on how to do it. Huh. But then they dropped the instruction when they moved to hip suspension packs. And so we've got two generations of kids that have never had a chance to feel how much easier it is to carry things like a book bag.
Oh, yes. Andrew and I one time went to Nepal and we were hiking in those very steep, steep mountains there. And everybody, as you say, uses tump lines, which means you carry the bulk of the weight of your backpack through a line that goes across your forehead. And try it. You can do it. We actually modified our backpacks after seeing everyone around us. We had the traditional hip backpacks and we modified them because it turns out, oh my gosh, it was so much easier on our backs. I think our heads are stronger, is what the deal is.
They absolutely are. Our heads are the heaviest parts of our body, so our neck and our spine and our hips and legs and feet are all designed to carry that weight to the head all the way down to the ground.
Tell us what you have. I mean, I would say show us, but we're on radio. In front of you, you have things that look very, like, that looks like a shoe. Is that a shoe?
It's a sandal. It's
an ancient sandal.
I brought it because there's such a contrast. Most archaeology deals with hardware. You know, we deal with flakes of stone or matades for grinding corn or masonry walls for old buildings. All of those flakes and sherds, they all survive in the decay through time. So they're there for us to recover as archaeologists. But most of what people owned and used in the past and today is all perishable. It all would rot away.
Wow. So why did you know? How do you know this is what the ancient shoes looked like? Have you actually found one?
Yeah. In special cases, they get preserved. They can be preserved if a house burns down in just the right way, and they get preserved as actual charcoal. So we find basketry preserved as charred baskets in dry caves and rock shelters where there isn't any biological or chemical decay. We can find the actual sandals themselves. And so that's how we know, along with all the observations of the way people lived 100 years, 200 years ago, in all of the records when Spanish colonial folks came to this part of the world.
Because they left, there were written, evidence, and there was written language elsewhere already here, was there not, somewhere in Americas? I mean, it seems like there were cave paintings and there were all kinds of ways that people communicated. We know this.
There's all kinds of ways that people have left information for us to find. Some of it we can't ever be sure exactly what the messages were. But in other cases, it's pretty clear. A lot of hunting scenes in rock art and religious scenes where the same religious symbols are used today by Pueblo peoples. And so we can make analogies that say the same religious figures existed in the past.
Well, that brings me to a question that I have for you, which is, aren't you finding things that are actually the relics of people who currently live here?
Absolutely. That's actually one of the joys of doing archaeology in New Mexico, because it it creates an opportunity and a responsibility. The opportunity is that we're building a history that we know what the end point is in the modern Native American cultures of the state. The responsibility is that we're actually at risk of violating some of the sensibilities of those peoples.
Well, of course, because I was thinking in terms of if you're doing a dig somewhere here in New Mexico and you come upon, say, a graveyard, you know, and let's be real, you're digging in the ground and people buried people in the ground. If those were my great, 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 great grandparents, I might be semi or very offended that you're digging up my great, 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 great grandparents' graveyard. How do you deal with that? How do you navigate? How do you make sure that you're culturally sensitive to people who are still alive as you dig here in New Mexico?
New Mexico was actually one of the earliest states to officially recognize that unmarked human burials have the same rights as marked human burials. And that's the way we've come to treat it. Instead of treating Native American burials as curiosities like Egyptian mummies or something like that, archaeology has made the transition from being disrespectful of Native American concerns to actually working in consultation with Native American communities when we think we might be digging an archaeological site that could contain burials. Mm. So we do prior consultation with possible descendant communities so that they can tell us how they want us to handle the situation.
That's great. Anna is at the Balloon Fiesta, and she's normally with us here on the air. And in a minute, we have to go to our bottom of the hour. But she wanted to know, what's the most common thing that you find when you're on digs here in New Mexico?
The most common thing we find are broken pieces of pottery.
And that leads me to another question. And I want to come to our other question, but we have to go to the bottom of the hour here. You are tuned to the Children's Hour. This is 89.9 KUNM and KUNM.org. We are a public service of the University of New Mexico. Stick with us. We're talking with Eric Blinman. He's the Director of Archaeology for the Museum of New Mexico for the Department of Cultural Affairs. We were just starting to talk about, Anna had asked this great question, what's the most common thing you find? And he said, pot shards. And that leads me to this question that is burning in my mind. I've hiked a lot in New Mexico. I still hike a lot in New Mexico. And I have to confess, we find pot shards everywhere. And I've always, at one time, Andrew here was with my son's school, and they went to a place that they always go to out in the Malpais, and they found an entire ancient pot in one of the caves. And thankfully, the teachers and the students were super smart and knew not to touch it and not to tell anybody, because it was a perfectly intact ancient pot that had been buried deep, deep in the Malpais. So let's talk about, what is the responsibility if you're hiking and you find something that's an obvious archaeological artifact? Are you allowed to pick it up and put it in your pocket? Should you leave it alone? Tell us what to do.
Well, there are all kinds of different laws and regulations and things, but really what it comes down to is a simple issue of ethics, almost morality. Those traces of ancient people don't belong to us as individuals. They belong to the descendants. They belong to the public as a whole. Mm-hmm. And the best possible thing you can do when you find something is, especially if it's a potsherd, you can pick it up and look at it. You can take a picture of it with your phone or your camera, and then you can put it back. And there's that incredible joy of discovery, especially if you find something like an arrowhead, something that's rare and unique, and you go, oh boy, if you take it and put it in your pocket, basically you're denying anybody else from having that experience. You're denying anybody else from having that joy. And so the best thing in the world is to leave it in place. And if it's something sensitive, like the whole pot, the best thing in the world is to contact the land managing agency.
Right? Like, so if you're in the Sandias and it's a wilderness area, that's the Bureau of Land Management, and you kind of have to know who's in charge of the land you're on.
Yeah, but you can even do things like call my office, and then I can help you figure out who the best person to talk to is, and then we can let the land managers take it from there. But the big thing is that idea of looking at archaeological remains. One is scientific information. Mm-hmm. So that if it's taken out of its place, we start to lose that scientific information very, very quickly.
Ah, that makes sense, because then you wouldn't really know. You wouldn't have a way of knowing, like, if what if it turns out that pot shard was actually part of an entire pot, that if you had known how to look for it, you could have found every other piece. And then someday an archaeologist comes, or somebody from the pueblo that's nearby comes, and they want to put it together, and they're missing that one piece that you shoved in your pocket.
Right.
That would be a super bummer. And then you're the one responsible for that. Well, Anna had another awesome question, and she asks, what find were you most excited and surprised about?
That's such a tough one. I've been doing archaeology since the late 60s. And there are a couple things I've found that actually I can't talk about.
Ah, oh my gosh.
Yeah, which is...
Who knew that archaeology was like the NSA? You got secrets, eh?
Yeah, awesome responsibilities to the descendant peoples.
Of course. But, you know, folks can learn a lot more about archaeology. And I want to talk about this because we're getting close to the end here of the time we have. And next Saturday from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. is Archaeology Day at the Center for New Mexico Archaeology. What's going to happen there? Tell us about that.
Our offices and labs are up in Santa Fe near the animal shelter, and we're going to have a celebration of National Archaeology Day by holding an open house on Saturday the 18th from 10 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. We're going to have all of our laboratories open so people can see all of the neat stuff and neat things we do. There's lots of fancy scientific equipment like low-energy oxygen plasma devices, lots of animal bones from reference materials so that we can tell if we have a bobcat bone or a pigeon bone or a turkey or a horse.
Is something that kids can come to and check all this stuff out?
Kids of all ages, because it's, you know, adults have as much fun throwing an atlatl at a target as kids do. You know, it's a chance. Our education program really believes in hands-on experience, so that our staff has created replica bows and arrows and atlatls and spears, and it's
How
a chance
neat.
To play.
Folks can learn more by going to nmarchaeology.org, and the Office of Archaeological Studies, is it at 7 Old Cochiti School Road? Is that your address?
It's 7 Old Cochiti Road.
New road,
couple of years, so some of the fancy GIS maps don't have it on it.
Uh-oh.
But there's a map that you can look at on the website. And the biggest clue is it's near the animal shelter. If you follow the...
This is up in Santa Fe next Saturday. It's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., celebrating National Archaeology Day at the Center for New Mexico Archaeology. And, you know, you can even learn, you can meet the archaeologists who are doing the excavations at the Palace of the Governors, which is a really cool active live site that's happening right here in Albuquerque, or right there in Santa Fe, right on the plaza. There are so many excavations going around the state, and this is the hotbed, like home of them all. So nmarchaeology.org, and a phone number is 505-476-4404. I wish we had more time, but it is so great to have met you and talked with you. Eric Blinman is the Director of Archaeology for the Museum of New Mexico for the Department of Cultural Affairs. Thank you so, so much for being with us on the Children's Hour today. It has really been just so enlightening to talk to you. Thank you.
You're welcome.